This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We are about to get aboard my magic carpet and take off for Myrtle Beach, California. South Carolina. Is there a Myrtle Beach in California? I don't think so. It's on the opposite coast, on the right coast rather than the left coast. Right? I guess stage right? Anyhow, Myrtle Beach, magic on the beach. It's going to be hosted by one of the organizers is Charles Bach. He did a great job last year, and I want to see if he can do it again this year because it was so much fun and the talent was outstanding last year. This year, just look at the website. He's got James Brandon, Dan Sperry, Low Sander, Carl Hine, Jaffo, Greg Gleason, Michael Paul, Chris Blackmore, Paul Stone, Dave Risley, and Charles Peacock, and Charles Bach. And I am looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the weather should be outstanding as well. This time of the year, not too hot, not too cold. Everyone kind of going back to school, so the boardwalk should be fairly quiet. Although, typically, last year at least, it was bike week. So there were a lot of people, and I don't mean bicycles. These are motorcycles, and it's quite loud throughout the whole weekend outside of Charles Bach's Theater. But everything really is held right there in Charles Bach's Theater, which is on the boardwalk. And there are plenty of restaurants and bars and ice cream shops and everything else around there. Hopefully there'll be a donut shop. I don't remember seeing a Dunkin' Donut shop there last time. But nevertheless, it is a tourist area, big Ferris wheel, I believe, that's there, boat rides, et cetera, et cetera. It is just a Myrtle Beach is a great place to go for a visit. Last year I had got to play golf with a friend, so I went in an extra day early in order to get a round of golf, which was a lot of fun. And this year I'm coming in just a few hours before, well, I should say the day before, but the afternoon before the convention begins. It starts tomorrow on the 12th, and I am here right now on the 11th, getting ready to, is that right? Yeah, today is the 11th. And I'm going to arrive and stay with a friend of mine, Jerry Thompson, overnight. He's going to pick me up. And so looking forward to it. It should be, again, a good convention. This is typically a fairly small convention, meaning less than 100 people. But it is an opportunity to really spend some quality time with people and hopefully get some good podcast episodes in the can. If possible, maybe I can pull Dan Sperry aside. He's been someone I've been wanting to talk with for quite a while, but he's always been so busy working with the Illusionists or whomever around the world, and always been pretty busy. But again, the size of this convention might allow us to get an opportunity to sit and chat. I have a lot of other contacts I have made with some other people during the convention season that I've been attending, and so I have several that are in the can and ready to go in the ensuing months. And I also, of course, I'm going to be getting into October, in which we're going to be talking with a couple people about seances. And of course, we usually have an annual visit with John Cox to talk with him about Houdini, since Houdini's death was on Halloween. That's October 31st back in 1926. Anyhow, I'm not going to spend too much time here because I want to save it for when I'm talking with the registrants and the organizers and talent and everybody else. But unfortunately, as I said, I had to get up way early in the morning. I mean, like 3 o'clock in order to catch my 6 o'clock flight here this morning because the airport is about an hour away from where I live, so it's a bit of a drive from where I am. And another unfortunate thing, as I pointed out on several occasions, is there's no Dunkin' Donuts here. I know, sad. So I'm unable to use the gift cards that some of my listeners have sent to me, which I greatly appreciate. Thank you very much. But I'm going to be going through Baltimore. Maybe they have a Dunkin' Donuts and I can catch up one there. But in the meantime, I went by Starbucks in order to get a blueberry muffin and a cup of coffee, and not just some regular coffee. Since I was going Starbucks rather than going with the Dunkin' Donuts, I went with a skinny vanilla latte with a little bit of cinnamon and not too much foam. Let's see how this is. Ah, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. That is some good latte. All right, that's a lot of latte. So I'm just going to, let's see, I think I'm about a little less than an hour away from boarding and taking off, but I will talk with you guys on the other side. Come along with me and enjoy the convention Magic at the Beach. It should be beautiful weather. Scotty out. We've arrived at Myrtle Beach, and we're getting ready for the first day of activities, and a lot of really cool stuff is going on soon, but we're about to, well, we're starting to get registered, and the first couple of guys are already here for registration. But before we begin, I want to congratulate the winners of the contest that's been running for a few weeks. That is, Michael Mode had offered a copy of his book, Best Jokes Ever, and also for two winners to get a three-pack of their napkin rose. And Ken Patterson was the winner of the book, and the napkin winners were Jeffrey Davis and Doug Weiss. Thank you very much, guys, for entering the contest. We had almost 100 people who had entered the contest, but only had three winners. We had at least three prizes this time, so thanks, everyone, to who had registered, and congratulations to the winners. And I also want to congratulate the first couple of guys who have already come in to register, and here's Renzi. Hey, Renzi.
Hi, how are you today?
I am fantastic, and Ron Conley. Hey, Ron.
Yep, I'm ready.
So, you guys, I know, Ron, you've been coming like forever, it seems like, right?
Yeah, I'm the probably the oldest person here, I don't know.
But you remember when it was, before, I mean, they had a while that the Magic at the Beach actually stopped for a while, and then Charles picked it up a few years later. But you were part of the old guard back in the old days, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's, I think we had about four of them, actually. And well, I was going to tell you that I won 4 years in a row of the contest there, but
you had won four different times on stage or close up?
Stage and close up.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a lot of fond memories of it. Yeah. And at that time, we still had the shop, and I also had a dealer's display too. So we did real well.
And, Renzi, how long have you lived in Myrtle Beach? Or I assume you live here.
Well, I grew up 45 minutes away, and my family's always had a property here, so I grew up here during the summers. Mm-hmm. And then I've been down here permanently since 95.
So were they doing the conventions back then? And I guess they were back then. Did you go to some of those back, the older ones?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I went to every one of them. And I worked for Ron, actually, for 20 years.
So, in the magic shop?
In the magic shop, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Where was your magic shop, Ron?
It was at Village of the Barefoot Traders, and we were there actually when it was. Renzo worked at the
Barefoot Landing.
Barefoot Landing, yeah, but it was originally a Village of the Barefoot Traders, and we were there then too. So it's even long. I think probably about 35 years in all.
I think I saw on Facebook where someone had posted a business card of yours from the shop saying that they bought a Svengali deck, I believe, from you way back when.
Yeah, I meet people all the time. Now, of course, you can't remember everybody, but right. A lot of people started to imagine. In fact, I go back further than that. Doug Henning was one of my customers when I had the shop at the Houdini Magical Hall of Fame in Niagara Falls, Canada. And Also, Lance Burton and his sister used to come to Gatlinburg when we had the shop there, and they were customers every summer.
Did you have a series of shops, or did you just have one, and then you close and move it to another place, or what?
Well, when I was Ripley's Magician, we had five shops, but the Houdini shop was separate. I had worked for Gene Gordon in Buffalo, and he actually got me the job at the Houdini Hall of Fame in Canada.
And that was the one that burned down, is that right? So it's no longer there.
Well, this one didn't burn down, but this was the original one, which is a really good one. As it moved around, it decreased in, I think, in value, but the first one was really great.
Remember the Gino Minari had Houdinis that he had run out of Las Vegas and had a few places also. It was not related to yours at all, though, correct?
No. No, this one was owned by Henry Mueller in Niagara Falls, Canada.
And, Renzi, which shop did you work?
I worked at the Barefoot Landing Magic Shop, the Conley's House of Magic in Barefoot Landing.
So Barefoot Landing, is that the name of the city, or is that a suburb, or is that?
Barefoot Landing is a shopping center up in North Myrtle Beach.
Oh, okay, because I don't know. And people who are listening over in Nairobi don't know either, so.
Right. Yeah, but actually I bought my first magic from Ron when I was about 4 years old. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I picked it up and put it down for a while, and then I came to work.
Tell them about your wife.
Oh, my gosh, my wife. Yeah, my wife, we actually met at Ron's Magic Shop. Okay. She went to work for him 2 weeks before I did. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to come down just for the summertime. And she opened up the store one morning. She had no idea who I was or why I was coming in. And she had just been told that the new guy was starting. And I walked in, and she was on the phone with her mom. And she said, "Mom, I got to go. The Jolly Green Giant just walked in."
My future husband.
Yeah, my future husband, right? She had no idea at that time, I guess. Yeah. And I'm sure at this point she's wishing that that had never happened. But, yeah.
How many years would this be?
We've been together since 95, but we've been married now for 15 years. We were busy the first 14 years we were together. We had a lot going on.
Congratulations. So did you continue to work the shop, or did you start doing magic or have another full-time job? Or?
Actually, I perform full-time, and then I still work at the magic shop in Barefoot Landing for Trickmaster, which is owned by Roman LaPree.
Mm-hmm. I played golf with Roman last year.
Yeah, he's a great guy, yeah. Man. I've known Roman since we were teenagers, yeah. You know, and so I went to work for him a few years back, and I've been there, and I started out working there thinking, oh, I'll be here maybe a year, and I think I've been there for about 8 years now, something like that. So,
is there something at this convention you're looking forward to seeing, or are you coming just because it's tradition and it's nearby?
You know what? I just enjoy being with everybody and getting to see all the new stuff that people are lecturing on and being able to visit with friends that I haven't seen in a long time and things of that nature.
Another thing, his wife, Nikki, was I did a birthday party for her when she was 8 years old, and she was recovering from cancer, and she had her head wrapped in a towel. And then she ended up working for me.
Wow, that's a good story, kind of a full circle. Wow, interesting. Yeah.
It's just great. Great.
Yeah, my whole life is pretty much tied to Ron in some way, it seems like.
He's like your dad.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is when he decided to close up the shop and everything, we were packing things up, and my daughter, who at the time was not quite 2 years old, she actually demonstrated the last trick and sold the last trick at the shop while we were packing up.
So. Yeah, it does talk about full circle. Yeah,
it kind is of brings full it circle. Yeah, it's absolutely full circle.
Well, it's good talking to you guys and good seeing you here. I hope you enjoy the convention. I'm sure it will be another great one. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Ron and Renzi. Scotty out. As more and more people are coming into the convention, we're starting to get ready for the 3 o'clock afternoon. I'm not sure exactly who's going to be lecturing here. Do you know who's lecturing at 3 o'clock?
Children's Museum.
Oh.
Museum.
Children's magician.
Children
yes. Okay. Someone's going to be talking about children's magic. That's going to be coming up shortly. But one of the people who I happen to run into here, actually, it's kind of a funny story, and he'll tell you about it, is the first person to actually subscribe and became the friend of the Magic Word, John Graybill, who's my person, I always like to refer to as my personal pilot. He's the one who flies my magic carpet, Southwest Airlines, my pilot, and your buddy and mine, John Graybill. Hey, John, how are you, man?
I'm great, Scott. It's great to see you.
I'm glad you happened to, our paths crossed here. Tell me how that happened.
Yeah, so when I landed today, I was on a layover here in Myrtle Beach, and when I landed, I got, as I always read your emails, and there was an email from the podcast about the next convention you were going to. You're an absolute machine going to all these conventions. I don't know how you're able to pull that off. And so I quickly did a quick text to see if you were here on my layover, and we had like 18 hours here, so I thought, what better way to spend my layover than come see you and come to this great convention.
And go get a martini later tonight, too. It is Thursday.
It is Thursday. That's the first thing I thought about. Where are we getting martinis?
Yeah, and there's one right directly across the street on the boardwalk over here, because tonight we're going to be having a barbecue and a hoedown, which means they're going to actually bring in, I guess, some country western music, and we're going to be doing square dancing. We've got a square dance teacher, and somebody's going to be calling it, and I guess I said, well, this is a magic convention. There are hardly any women here to dance with. And so the guy said, we're bringing in women. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that sounds, but that's great. But I do remember 7th grade, and I was quite the square dancer in 7th grade.
Were you? Oh, yeah. You got to do well tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after we have a martini or two, right?
Oh, that may be...
So you don't go to a lot of conventions because you're traveling then quite a bit, and you've got your own podcast. You did. I know it was on race car driving, and so tell me about what's happened to that or what you're doing now.
Yeah, we did. Thanks to you. You were the genesis for the Audubon Country Club podcast, which we did for years. That's a private race club, racetrack in Joliet, Illinois. And so we did that for a number of years. I've since relocated down to Sarasota. There's a community down there. It's called Lakewood Ranch. So I have squatted the Lakewood Ranch podcast, and I'm preparing to start a podcast down there. Thanks for your help, your technical expertise and motivation and everything else. You've been a guiding light for me in my podcast career, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. And I gave you a couple new ideas today you might
try.
Yes,
you did. They are fantastic. Absolutely.
So what was the last Magic convention you remember attending? I know you're busy with the family and everything then, too, with your son and daughter and everything.
Right. When the kids are a little bit smaller, we did a lot. That was, again, the genesis. You were the genesis. I was listening to one of your podcasts one time. You talked about Magic competitions, and I guess I just didn't pay any attention. I just didn't understand the Magic competition side of it. So my daughter was six, my son was eight. We went to our first Magic competition at the Midwest Magic Jubilee in St. Louis, which was like our home convention for years. And my daughter actually, she was 6 years old, and she placed in that competition. She won third place in that competition, and that was great. So that started our career going to a lot of the conventions. So the kids, when they were younger, did that. Then they got into their teenage years, and they were racing cars, racing go-karts. And so we just recently, last year, went to the Daytona Beach Magic.
Oh, yeah. How convention. Was that? Oh, with Harry Allen and that group?
Yeah. It was great. And we were going to go this year because that's going to be our new home convention night.
That's November?
It is, first weekend in November. Inadvertently booked tickets for REO Speedwagon back in my hometown that I saw them when I was a kid, so we were going to go back to Bloomington, Illinois, where we were from. So she didn't do that, but my daughter's still active doing stuff. She does a lot of pageants in addition to all the other stuff she does, and she recently got a brand new quick change act.
Wow.
And so we spent, I had made her costumes when she was younger, her dresses and everything. And now that she's full grown, I wanted her to have some costumes that would last for forever and some higher quality ones. So we went out to Las Vegas and spent a few days out there getting her sized up and getting her into the new costume she uses for her quick change act, which is developing and coming along. Hopefully it will be a competition act soon for the next year.
Well, that's a popular act. I just saw Solange, who was on America's Got Talent, that has gone forward.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on there. I saw that.
That was magic.
I mean, I don't know what's happening there. And I've been at the quick change. Well, involved in a quick change act for 10-12 years.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what's happening there. It's awesome. It is so awesome.
That's something she can aspire to, I guess.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hard to top. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I know that you'll enjoy the convention. We got some more guys who are coming in. It looks like who are some of the performers and the dealers. It's interesting. I don't know if you know this, but in this little area, in the boardwalk area, the dealers are not actually, most of the shows and everything, the lectures, et cetera, are here in the Charles Bach Theater. I started to say Charles Peachock, which is another Charles, and he's a juggler who's going to be here this weekend. But the dealers are at Dave and Buster's just across the way.
Oh,
so
really?
They've got a banquet room over there off to the side, and that's where the dealers are. So you walk out of here about, I don't know, 20 feet, and you're in Dave and Buster's, and walk down another 20 feet to the right, and that's where the dealers are.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've never been. I've never had a layover here in Myrtle Beach. So this is my first time landing at the at this airport. And
well, this boardwalk is absolutely amazing. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, for probably miles. I don't know. I was walking quite a bit here today with Paul Stone. We were going out to lunch, and there are so many things to eat and drink and see, and I mean, ice cream and pizza and whatever you want all around here. And plus, you know, rides and whatnot. That big pinwheel, you saw the Ferris wheel out there.
Yeah, it was very cool also, yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy the short time you're here. You're going to want to come back and bring the family. This is certainly a vacation destination for a lot of people.
Yeah, there's amazing stuff going on here. So, yeah, hopefully a little bit this afternoon I'll be able to see some of it.
Well, I wish you were going to be here for more than just the day, but you can listen to the rest of the podcast, of course, as you know, and the rest of the people as well.
I'm so jealous. Every time I just finished Texas Magic Texas, I just finished that, and I just wish I could have been there. But you know, once I retire, that's my wife, Heidi, and I, that's what we'll be doing. We'll just be following you around all the conventions.
There we go. You know, for those who don't know, on the magicwordpodcast.com, I have a tab you can click on that says Magic Convention Guide, and I try to keep up. And so if any of you have are organizers of conventions and your convention is not listed there, I'll give you a free listing. A lot of people from all over the world will check on that regularly, and my analytics show that is the most often visited site for people to go, know where they're going to be going. And I put a little asterisk beside the ones I'm going to be attending. And I know I see some people at the same conventions I'm going. And I asked one guy one time, I see you every place at these conventions. He said, when you're going to be going, and I see by that asterisk, it must be a good convention or you wouldn't be going. So I'm just following you. Okay.
Well, that's amazing what you do for the magic community. Your podcast has been, how many years have you been doing this?
13.
13 years. How many episodes?
This will be, I think, 858.
You're just amazing. And if all the listeners are not friends of the Magic Words, they need to become friends of the Magic Words.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. Again, you being, I said, number one fan, and I say that because he was the first one to join when I decided, okay, I'm going to see if I can monetize this, and started the Patreon and page. And surprisingly, out of the 10,000 listeners worldwide, I think we still have only had a little over 200 people in total who have even offered a dollar. And there was somebody who did give a dollar, and that was it. I mean, they were in and out. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever that you can afford, I don't know, and I don't care. It's your money and your decision, and if you can support the podcast, it's greatly appreciated because that helps pay for a lot of the software and hardware, the travels and everything. So whatever you can give on a donation, on some regularity, you know, once a year or whatever, or perhaps through Patreon on a monthly pledge. We have got it set up. And if you do that, you get some pretty cool perks along the way, too. But if you go to patreon.com/themagicword, you can get all the details. Okay, enough of that sales pitch. I feel like NPR or PBS always soliciting for that. John, good seeing you. Thanks a lot for coming by.
Yeah, thank you so much.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was John Grabiel. Scotty out. As we go in the dealer's room, I actually got here a little bit early while they're still setting up, and so the rest of the customers have not shown up yet. We did a dealer show, which was a great idea. I haven't seen this in a while, and that is and I recommend this for particularly small conventions, but any convention as well, in which we would have a dealer show first for the dealers to come and show a few of their wares, just as some of the things that are more popular sellers, etc. That gives you an idea of kind of what they have. And a lot of conventions used to do that early on, but we haven't seen that in a while. So this convention is doing it, and so I quickly came in because there were a couple things I wanted to get, and one of the things I wanted to get was an opportunity to talk with our friend Ari Phillips, who's just finished a lecture tour. Hello, Ari.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for the lecture. It's been brilliant.
Well, you're welcome. I hope you had an enjoyable time, you and Mona, traveling across the country.
We have had an incredible and crazy adventure, I can say that for sure.
Well, tell just briefly, because I know that you have been a dealer not only here at the Magic of the Beach, but then also you were at Magic Con, I think, which was the Dan Harlan thing, and then of course, Magic Live and then Magic Texas, but Magic Live was your first one. Tell us about some of the problems you had there.
Okay. Magic Live was actually brilliant, and the people we met were amazing, but as some of you may have been aware, that UPS had let us down somewhat, actually extremely crazy. They'd lost both of our bags, so we didn't get our bags at all for most of the convention, and the last day we got one of the bags, and then we still didn't get them, and then we didn't have them for Magic either, which is Dan Harlan's convention. We were lucky that we got about 9 new releases with Murphy's Magic, and they were nice enough to let us have retain the stock, so we had something to sell at the convention, which was amazing. And then we got, you know, we've just been going from there and strength to strength, so lucky, I guess.
And your bags have been catching up with you on the road as you were traveling. Fortunately, you're here for like almost 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months, actually. Yeah, pretty close to 2 months. But
and you got to see everything from Disneyland to Disney World.
We did. We actually, it was a working holiday, crazy, a lot of driving and stuff like that. But yeah, we were lucky that the bags did catch up with us at the end. We heard that Stan Allen from Magic Live just received one last week.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Sweet Repeat, which is what I did with Mono, and as a new release.
I just bought one. It's a great thing for Christmas. As Santa Claus, I think this is just an awesome thing.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it's great for family shows and, you know, fun for everyone, really.
Just basically explain the effect.
Yeah, so basically it's like we like to do different things, and we like to take something that's from sort of not an average trick, but something that you may recognize as like a six-card repeat. It's a great trick, but we wanted to create it for families and fun, so we made it from sweets that you actually give out to people as well. So we called it Sweet Repeat, and we did it with, I think what they call them here, something pops, Pop Rocks or something.
Pop like Rocks,
that.
Yep.
And we do a very similar version, and it's international, it's fun, and it's just, you just basically keep counting the sweets, and someone takes one. So
right.
Mrs. Claus would take one from you, and, go, no, and the kids would say, she took one. She'd go, no, she can't have taken one, because I've still got six. I've got one, two, three, four, five, six packs. And we go on and on and on. So there's plenty of entertainment value you can get out of it. So we were lucky, but actually we've only just been able to launch now because we didn't receive them. So Stan is going to keep that for us for next year.
Come back next year. You're going to come back to have a Magic Live next year?
We are absolutely coming back. So we are looking forward to coming back to Magic Live. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, everyone at every convention has been absolutely fabulous. And we've had such a good... you know, feedback from all the lectures we've done, and we've met amazing people, and you know, we just wish we could keep going.
Well, talking about the lecture tour, that's one of the things too. Unfortunately, was I had sent out the information about you, there were some cities who didn't know you or anything about you, and so I wasn't able to book as many cities as I had hoped. However, that you were telling me, of course, as you had gone through and as you had been at some of these conventions, you were not lecturing, but you were actually just a dealer. But the things you were showing, it's like, well, I wish you would have lectured for our club. Now people know who Ari is. If you want to contact me at lectures, that's plural, lectures@scottwells.com. Let me know, and maybe I can bring him back and give him another run through whenever he comes to Magic Live next year. So
yeah, we would absolutely love it. We do know there's people out there. They've come directly to us and said they'd love to come. We've been like, not just in America as well. It's been all over Europe and France and Mexico and Hawaii, and
yeah,
it's been incredible. But yeah, we've had really good fun with everyone. The tour has been super successful. We do have an extra bag of stock that we are going to have to send back to the UK now because of UPS. We'll deal with them when we get home. So,
yeah. Well,
yeah.
I hope you're enjoying South Carolina and Myrtle Beach. I'm sure it's your first time here.
It is our first time. Won't be the last.
Yeah. So. Well, there you go.
We actually saw Charles Bass' show last night as well, and it was brilliant. We actually went, and for once we were actually able to see
sit and watch.
We sat and watched, and we thoroughly enjoyed it as well.
So I want to thank Mona for the popcorn, by the way.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she loves the popcorn. She gave a popcorn up for you. No, it's brilliant. So no, it was great, and that's the sort of thing that we've been experiencing throughout. We've been, you know, everything's been magical, and we got engaged, didn't we, at the Magic Castle. So yeah, we've had amazing experience, and yeah, just people have been fab. So yeah,
well, look forward to future meetings and everything. And I wish you success here. It looks like you got a lot of things set up at the booth. Boy, you looks like everything did show up all at once. But I'm sure you'll do well here as well.
Yeah,
so again, Ari, congratulations.
Thanks,
good
John.
Seeing you, my friend.
Amazing.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Ari Phillips. Scotty. One of the organizers of the convention is Dave Tanner, who I've got with me here now, and we're about to go into the, I guess, hootenanny. We're having actually a square dance and barbecue. I mean, I'm from Texas. I come all the way to South Carolina to kind of get more of my home style of welcoming. So, Dave, thanks very much.
You're welcome. No other place but a magician convention to have a hootenanny square dance.
That's true. So what was the idea of having that? I mean, I understand Texas, but I mean, why South Carolina?
Hey, it's big in South Carolina, too. Hey, this still South. We're just, you know,
we're
a little
part
farther
of the South. You're right, brother. That's
yeah.
Right.
We always try to do something different every year here at Magic at the Beach.
Well, you do. Last year, you had provided, you're a Houdini collector, and you've got a lot of Houdini memorabilia.
Right.
And you had provided this upstairs, and mm-hmm. we had the little party, had a walk through, and mm-hmm. we had some of your things you were displaying. And this year, we're doing something different. What is that?
Yes, yeah, so decided this year, since it's getting close to Halloween, we're going to have a haunted carnival upstairs this mm-hmm. time. And we have a lot of animatronics up there, and we're going to have open mics.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, like a symbol monkey that's 6 feet tall. And,
oh, my. Yeah, okay.
And, of course, the standard ghosts and skeletons. They got a couple of skeletons playing the saxophone and trumpet up there. They're
right.
be playing some tunes. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I remember last year, again, with the Houdini, and Chip Romero was so impressed. He said, I don't think I've seen this before. There were a couple of things that he didn't have in his collection either.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those quiet collectors. Nobody knows me, but, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of us guys out there, you know.
And, yeah,
I'd still love to have the stuff Chip has got, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got quite a collection.
So this convention this year has been very good. I was just talking with Jerry Thompson. He was saying got about 100 attendees or so right now.
Yes, I think we're up maybe by about 8 or 10, and we're always want you guys to come out. Always welcome more people. I mean,
Like this, I said, is this is a fun time.
It's a fun convention. It's half party and half convention. Don't think you can come here and just have a party. Yeah. We have all the top acts and entertainment here, and we just throw in little extra things.
Yeah, there are so many things that are going on, and it's just an intimate group of people. And you can hear in the background, they're getting ready to.
That's my theme song, you know, Rocky. You know, what can I say?
Now, this is the second year that you've been involved with this.
Is that right? I've been involved since day one, which is we started Magic at the Beach in 2010.
Okay.
And we skipped a couple of years, and when Charles Bach moved to town, we decided to bring it up again. And it's a perfect facility for it. Beautiful, beautiful place. And.
Yeah, it's a great theater, and it's even gotten bigger since he had added the seats. I mean, remember last year we had those just regular chairs, and he's now got a regular theater.
Not a bad seat in the house. You look over the heads of the person in front of you. You don't have to look in between anybody. It's absolutely beautiful theater.
Yeah, I was here for a show last night, and it was a full house. It was packed.
Oh, good, good. Yes.
So it's been very good. Now, you still operate a magic shop also here on the boardwalk.
Yes, Broadway Magic. This is my 29th year at the magic shop, and we're still here.
Yeah. And what's it like with brick-and-mortar magic shop? I mean, you're here in a tourist area, first of all, so I think that's got to be a positive thing.
It's all about location.
Location, exactly.
It's all about location. People walking by, you know, when during the summer, you know, it's a tourist area, and it just, when they come in, you just gotta sell them the magic and get them involved with it, and hopefully they'll buy a Svengali deck or a Nickels to Dimes. I don't know.
Exactly. What has been one of your biggest sellers there?
As far as gags go, you ready for this? I sell more no-tear toilet paper than any gag in the store. Okay. Matter of fact, I make it now myself and sell it. But I go through about 800 or 900 rolls a year. People just love it.
Wow.
I don't know why, but they just like to get that no-tear toilet paper.
I never thought about that. You know, you put it in your guest bathroom and you have somebody come over and...
Won't tear off the roll, and it's kind of embarrassing, but, you know, that's what it's all about.
Well, this convention, I enjoyed it last year. That's why I'm coming back again this year. Charles did such a great job with bringing in such top talent, and we got some great people coming in this year then, too.
Well, we're glad and lucky to have you here with us, and thank you for coming.
I'm flattered. Thank you very much. Now, I missed the lecture just a moment ago that was with the children's entertainer.
Yes.
Who was that?
That was Dave Risley.
Dave Risley. So tell me about how was
well-known Dave Risley. I've seen him many times, but I did not see
the
lecture.
He's a local guy. He's in Myrtle Beach?
No, I think he's – I'm not quite sure if he's in North Carolina or upper Greenville area or what, but he's a great children's entertainer, and he does a top-notch lecture, and
he's really good.
Oh yeah, we got some, you know, we got something for everybody here.
Well, I think that's what's interesting is you have like children's entertainer. I know Charles Peachock is a juggler, and you've got illusionists, of course, with Charles, and you have all kinds of a variety of people that whatever.
We have so much going on at this convention, guys and gals. If you get a chance, try to make it next year.
It's or even right now. I mean, phenomenal. This is published like each day, and so for people who are listening to this who are not here yet, we still have day passes. In fact, I just had a friend who I was just talking to him about the moment ago, John Graybeal, who was is a pilot for Southwest Airlines, and he happened to be in town, and he came to this convention. He happened to read my pod letter and said, hey, you're in Myrtle Beach, and he said, are you here? And I said, yes. So he said, I'm coming down. So he had an 18-hour layover, so you never know.
That is great. That's what we like to hear.
So if anybody's listening to this and you're anywhere near the South Carolina Myrtle Beach area, you need to drive on over, because I think Friday and Saturday still is going to be awesome.
We've got prizes. We give out.
That's right. You got everything. What's the way about the big wheel?
We got a big wheel of fortune, and between each lecture, we're just going to spin the wheel and give stuff away. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay anything. You get a ticket when you walk in. You spin the wheel and you get whatever comes up, and they're good prizes.
And I know that Paul Stone is going to be here, and he's going to be lecturing. He's got some stuff he's going to be auctioning off or raffling off, I think, too.
Right, right.
Which includes, I think, the Siegfried and Roy, that big book of theirs that sells like $1,000 or something.
Actually, he's going to raffle that off the night before the big show. That's going to be an exciting thing, and we really do appreciate Paul doing this for us. It's going to be a blast to have that That's a big drawing.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for working on this. I know that you and Charles and Jerry Thompson and everybody have been putting this thing together. Who else is on the committee? Who else are you guys working with?
Well, of course, we got everybody. Magdalena, which is Charles' wife. Yeah. And we got a lot of people behind the scenes. But we're basically the three go-to guys on it. If you got any questions or anything, just look us up.
Well, this is great. Thank
you. It's a blast. We love magic. You know, it's just a fun time. I look forward to it every year, and hopefully you guys need to come out and look forward to it next year.
Yep. As I said, if you are anywhere nearby, please come this year. And if you can't make it, please plan on coming next year. It's really great. Thanks, Dave, very much. Awful nice talking.
Hey, thank you. That was a blast. Let's go get some chicken
barbecue. That's right. I think it's time for some barbecue. So the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. I was just enjoying a couple of martinis, since it is Thursday night, over at the nearby Bar Louie, across the street from where we are at Charles Box Theater. So I missed the lecture that was by Dave Risley?
Dave Risley,
that's right,
yeah.
Who was talking about children's magic, and not being a children's entertainer, I thought, okay, if I'm going to miss something, that might be the one. However, I thought I'd speak with someone who was very interested in that, and I heard him complimenting him afterwards. And so here's my friend Wayne Harhouse, who is going to tell us a little bit about what lecture I'd missed. Tell us there, Dave.
Okay,
hello,
yeah.
Dave. How you doing?
I'm Wayne. We're talking about Dave.
Yeah.
But Scott, yeah, you missed a good lecture. I had never heard of Dave Risley before, and he had a lot of great ideas about working kid shows. Some of his gags were hysterical. I don't know if I should tell them on the podcast.
I heard you say something about, what was that, about the rabbit or the...
Yeah, he has a really great, funny rabbit and hat routine, which is very engaging and doesn't use any ventriloquism. It's just a comedic routine. He's got a really great gag with tipping his assistant helpers with newspaper coupons for free oil changes and stuff like that, which I thought was very funny. And he had a number of other really funny ideas that kind of inspired me to look into the preschool market, which is not something I really considered before. So,
and that's not really a high-paying thing either.
No.
For preschool, is that like 50 bucks or something?
Well, he was making, I think, 100 bucks a show or 150 a show. But, right, it's not a high-paying
But there are a lot of them.
But that's what he was saying, that he
it's
could
bulk.
Do four in a day and still feel energized. Whereas you do one big show and it's like you're exhausted. So it was just something I was interested in considering. And it seems like it would be a lot of fun.
Do you do a lot of entertainment for children already?
I do mostly school age. I've never really done much in preschool. But I've done stuff where I'm interacting with those kids, of course, if they're like younger brothers or sisters or something. So, I mean, they can be fun to work with, I could see. But I've never really focused on that or specialized it. He just broke down a really great thing, you know, come up with a short show. He has a formula for how you can do it, so you can plug in certain effects and then create a new show. And then you're going back and forth maybe four times a year to the same group, which is an interesting concept that I wanted to think about.
And a lot of times the daycares are all kind of like in suburbs of different cities.
Yep.
So you can go from one to the other easily. You don't have to drive 100 miles.
Yeah, right. So you'll have, I'm in the Raleigh-Durham area, and there are tons of them. So I think you could just drive, you know, within a couple square mile radius and probably get
And as I understand it, I heard a lecture about this several years ago, I want to say from Steve Daly, who may have talked about this, and he was saying that they're only about 20 or 30 minutes, so it's a shorter show because they have a shorter attention span.
Yeah, that's what he said, that the maximum 35 minutes, you know, and so we probably, the show itself is probably 25 minutes with your introduction and your
in and out. Thing.
Yeah. You're in and out, and he's in a you know, good system to organize your stuff so that you're all reset to go and hit the next one. Yeah,
so that's an untapped market that a lot of people haven't thought about.
That, I think, has a lot of potential if you like, you know, the bottom line is you got to like kids.
Well, that's true.
You know, you got to like young kids, and that's not for everybody. But
and have you been, I was asking about birthday parties. Do you do a lot of birthday parties?
Yeah, I do a lot of birthdays and school shows.
When you say school shows, you were saying like elementary, like
elementary
assemblies?
Assembly shows, yeah. Yeah, and I'm also involved in the Discover Magic program.
Oh, it's Mike Amar thing.
Yeah, and so I teach in after-school programs.
Right.
And so they're doing something that they call Magic Explorers, which is pitched for the, you know, younger, early elementary set. And so my wife and I were just talking, that might work in a preschool setting too, and I'm wondering if I could segue something into all of that. But
So you're kind of looking at going in a little bit different direction.
In a different direction, yeah.
So this convention is actually kind of, might change your career.
It was a great opening to the convention to make me, think about things differently.
Have you attended this convention very often?
No, first time.
First time. And so what made you want to come to this one?
I have a couple of buddies in the Raleigh-Durham area who decided to go.
Yeah.
And one of my friends is bringing his wife, and so my wife said, oh, yeah, that'll be fun, we'll go. Otherwise, this one was not on my radar.
Well, I remember last year that Dan Harlan didn't come. Of course, he's from the Raleigh area, and you didn't come that year.
I didn't come that year.
That was a good one. Last year was great.
Oh, was it good, this convention?
Yeah.
So I frequently will go to the Trix convention.
I'll see you there. You going this November?
No, because I'm going to do the Discover Magic convention that weekend in Florida.
That's the same weekend also that NEMCA is having their convention.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Yankee Gathering. A lot of stuff happening then.
Oh, wow. So that's busy. You can't be everywhere. Yeah. So... yeah, so I guess that's it.
And so is this the first time that you've been to one of these conventions for the Magic at the Beach? I know they've held it several years in the past. They had a layover for a while.
Okay, yeah, this is my first time here. Okay. So I'm new to the the Carolina area.
So what other conventions do you attend then? I mean, throughout the year? I mean, this isn't your first big convention.
Well, I mean, a lot. I used to go to the national, IBM and SAM nationals all the time.
What has kept you from going back?
Yeah.
I'm always curious about, what it is that, what keeps people coming or what keeps people from going?
I feel like I want to explore some of these other more fringy conventions.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm excited to be going to FISM next
Turin? Time.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Turin?
Yeah.
Are you going to be going, spend a little time before or after, or are you going to make a vacation?
That's the plan, yeah. All those details haven't worked out, but, yeah, maybe do some touring in Rome with my son afterwards, or maybe going up to London to see my niece.
Have you been to a FISM before?
Yeah, I went to the Quebec one.
That was great.
That was awesome. That was my first one, and that one blew my mind. I mean,
and that was what made you decide, hey, I want to go to...
Absolutely, yeah. I tell everybody that I saw more amazing magic in that 5 days than I had in my whole career in magic.
I just came from Magic Texas, in which we had joined with the SAM and FISM, and that was something that gave a taste to a lot of people in America who had not gone to Quebec to see FISM winners and get a taste of what FISM is like, because it is a completely different level.
Yeah. And we have a local Raleigh guy, Michael Blumke, who...
He won.
He won.
He's going to be going.
He's going to be going.
He is awesome.
Yeah, and that's a funny act.
Yeah.
And, Dan Harlan is involved in our Raleigh group, and that act pretty much got started, or really got a foothold, at Dan and Sarah Ella's house, where it started as just an idea and then
developed.
So that's really been fun to see that.
I have seen his progression because I've seen him at the IBM convention, and I want to a couple of. It seems like I was a judge at one of the conventions, and he was in, and I had voted him to be top because he's really good and he's very funny, and it is a different show. I mean, there are some subtleties that he's added that really make it perfect now.
Yeah, it's really been fun to see that thing develop, and I can't wait to see where it goes. Where it goes from here.
Yeah. Well, Wayne, thanks very much. I'm glad that you're attending, and good to talk to someone who's a first-timer at one of these Magic at the Beach also.
Thanks, Scott. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking with you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Wayne Harhouse. Scotty out. I always like to try to get together with the organizers of a convention when I'm doing these convention reports to give kind of an idea, an overview of what the convention's like before and afters. And if I can get both of those, that's great. I remember whenever I'm at Magic Live, typically I can't get to a Stan Allen or anybody, it seems like, until after the convention's over, and then kind of get a rundown of how that they felt that it went. But I've got Charles Bach with me right now, who is the owner of the Wonders Theater. It's Charles Bach Theater here on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, and he is also the person who is the chief cook and bottle washer of the convention. Then right now he's got a tremendous staff, but he's got a lot of stuff that he's working on then right now. Hello, Charles.
Hello there. Hi, everybody. It's a great convention. We wish you were here.
Wish you were here. That's right. And so we still got 2 days. By the time that you guys listen to this, we still got Friday and Saturday to go. So if you're anywhere near Myrtle Beach, you need to hurry on down and sign up. Because, I know you can have a one-day pass if you want, or you can still sign up for the rest of the convention. We got a lot of activities that are happening on Friday and Saturday. What are some of the things that are happening over the weekend here?
We've got plenty of things going on. We've got lectures. We've got competitions. We've got shows. We've got parties, we've got surprises, we've got giveaways. We've already given out swag bags, which people seem to love. They're kind of heavy because they're loaded with
lots of stuff. Yeah. And so this has been an exciting convention so far that we've been doing over just today. I mean, with the dealer's room set up over there in Dave and Buster's, and I've already spent over $300 with stuff. It's not hard. I mean, I just walked in. I mean, it's a small bag, but it is some great stuff. And I'm not one to buy a lot of stuff, but I'm going to use the stuff that I just bought. Anyhow, so this has been, so far, we've had Dave Risley, who had lectured. I missed his lecture, but
Years of children's performing, and he's shared some golden advice with us.
That's what I just heard.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. And then tonight we're going to be having a close-up show, is that right?
Tonight's close-up show, and the dealers were open for a little late-night sales session. You can get some more stuff if you want.
Okay. And then nothing happening upstairs. I mean, tomorrow night's the party
and
upstairs.
We start partying tomorrow night, and we have an early morning competition, so we want people to get to bed, get rest, and get ready for their competition tomorrow.
Yep. I'm going to be a judge, I guess, for that.
Yes, you are.
Okay. And this is like an open mic thing, so you only got 5 minutes, or tell me something about
this. We changed the format this year to make it a little bit more like user-friendly, so that it's easier entry.
Okay.
So
need to sign up, you just show up.
You can show up. We have people that wanted to sign up, so we took their names, took their information if they had any technical needs, but it's 5 minutes, one trick, one routine, and your stage is yours.
Mm-hmm. And are you having stage competitions?
So it's all one go.
So it's stage or close-up
performers. We can have stage performers, parlor, whatever you want to do. It's all in that format.
Okay. So you, because of your theater, you have access to the big screen TV and the cameras and everything as well.
Yes,
so
we'll make it look great.
Right,
we'll
so if somebody is doing close-up, everybody's going to get to see that.
Absolutely.
On the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you might say, by the way, I had mentioned last year that your show is just awesome. I really love the way that you perform. I mean, you've got such high energy. I saw your regular public show last night, which was sold out, and it was amazing as usual with your dancing, your choreography, and everything you put together. I know you have, if people go back and listen to the podcast we did before, you talk about your background and how that you can put together
all in there.
You do with music and choreography, etc. But it was a really good show. How many seats now this year you have new theater seats rather than just the chairs?
Yeah, so the new seating is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's a great guest experience. No bad seats. Everybody has a perfect view of the stage. No heads in front of you. Mm-hmm. But I lost 30 seats. So now I'm at 172 seats instead of 200.
Okay. And also you have an evening a hypnotist.
And at late night we have a comedy hypnosis show, and that is more adults. Mm-hmm. It's definitely adult themed, but it's a lot of fun, and the adults seem to love it.
And does that pack up pretty well as well?
And it stays quite busy. There's no other hypnosis show in town, even on the East Coast, so we definitely have people interested in seeing something.
I know he's been doing that. I mean, when I was here last year,
Fourth year in Myrtle Beach.
Okay. Where was he before that?
He was in Vegas, doing a show in Vegas, and then wanted to come out here. And
well, he was a friend of yours?
I was looking for a hypnotist.
And you knew him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I thought it would be a nice thing to have at the late night, something very different, hits a different market, different audience,
right,
and provides people great entertainment.
And for people who come and see your show, they also get a discount then?
They get a discount. Yeah, we actually provide a discount. If you've come to one show, we want to give you the opportunity to come back and see us again.
Now, one of the things I think that differentiates this convention from others, I mean, a lot of conventions will have some swag bags in which they give you some stuff, a couple of decks of cards or something that a dealer might have, but yours goes over the top.
We kind of went overboard. Yeah, we've got a lot of great things.
Talk about some of the stuff that's in there.
So we've got puzzles, which are mix and match. So if you find a friend that has a puzzle that you like, you can trade and mix and trade. They're actually pretty nice, fancy metal puzzles that are very, very fun to follow. We solved them all, by the way. Took a while, but we figured it out. We've got booklets. We've got magic. We've got close-up pads. We've got branded card guards, decks of cards. It's loaded with stuff.
And a book, I think, also. Is that right? That's something that Paul Sohn has got?
Yeah, so we created, there is going to be an item that's going to be for everybody. It's a collector's piece from Siegfried and Roy, which there's no other way to get it. It's signed by Lynette Chapel. Everybody's going to get one of those. and that'll be provided later, but that is part of your swag bag. And we have a booklet provided by all the entertainers, added tricks, routines, like advice, things like that. We put it all together in a booklet called Magic at the Beach, and the only way you can get one is to get a swag bag.
Yeah, that souvenir program is pretty... It's not really a program, as you said. It's really a set of lecture notes where each of the performers has contributed an idea, a trick, some monograph or something. It's really... I saw it this morning. It's fantastic.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Color pictures and everything, so... I like the printing and everything then as well. You've had a very good team of people who are working with you. I know that Jerry Thompson and with
and Dave Tanner.
Dave Tanner.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We've got a great team. My wife is now here
Magdalena.
In Myrtle Beach helping out, and she's taking care of the front of house and all the registration. She's been amazing.
Yeah. Good convention, and just about 100 people or so is currently...
We have just over 100 magicians and some spouses and stuff, so it fills up our theater, but it allows everybody to have an intimate experience.
Do you have any idea about where the... furthest person or the furthest place that someone has come from?
That's a good question. I know that Paul Stone, one of our performers, is from Liverpool, England, but
lives in Las
he's
Vegas.
Now living in Vegas, so that doesn't
Los
count
Angeles,
now.
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, so that'd be true. Maybe it's Los Angeles. Yeah, that's pretty far. But a lot of people I know from Virginia and other places.
Yeah,
down.
Philadelphia, a lot of people regionally, North Carolina, South Carolina, as well as Georgia, they've come out for the convention.
Yeah. Well, they're getting ready for the evening show here, so I guess we probably ought to...
I might have to go backstage.
You may have some other responsibilities here. I'll try to wrap this up with you as the convention progresses and at the end of the convention towards later.
Fabulous. I'll look forward to talking with you.
Thank you, Charles, very much. It's been a wonderful time. I always look forward to this. This was great last year, and it's meeting expectations this year, too.
Excellent. Excellent.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, I was Charles Bach, Scotty out.